him up on the last day. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please remain standing as we pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and faithful presence to us. Lord, we ask that you would fill the space with your Holy Spirit and illuminate your word afresh to us for the honor and glory of your name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to start this morning by asking a question. Have you ever made a bargain with God? I'm talking about something that goes like this. God, if you get me out of this financial crisis or help me close this one deal, I promise I'll follow you all of my days. Or Jesus, if you help me get a good grade on this certain test, break this habit or fix my marriage, I'll pledge my undying loyalty to you. In situations like these, we use our loyalty like bargaining chips. We leverage our loyalty like currency to purchase more of God's. In these types of scenarios, God becomes some sort of cosmic deal maker. Now, if this were actually true and God's actions were contingent upon our loyalty, we would be in trouble. Our loyalties are cheap. Our loyalties are overvalued. They're fickle and they ebb and flow like the tide. It is impossible for us to remain loyal to God every moment of the day. But what if our loyalty isn't the point? What if the gospel is more about Jesus' loyalty to us? A loyalty that is not earned, a loyalty that remains even after we die. Over these past few weeks, we've been exploring the heart of Jesus. We've been unpacking his motivations, what moves him, what drives him, and what stirs him to action. Now, our gospel passage this morning gives us a window into Jesus' loyalty. John 6 reveals the source of this loyalty, as well as two benefits of it. So let's begin by looking at the source of this loyalty. The first thing that we need to realize is that Jesus' loyalty is not contingent upon your efforts. Jesus' loyalty is not contingent upon your efforts. Instead, Jesus is loyal to you because it's the Father's will. Turn with me to our gospel passage and look at verse 38, beginning at 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. I want you to notice that in these three verses, the word will is used on four separate occasions. Jesus isn't some rogue agent making decisions on a whim. Jesus works in sync with his Father's plan. He is on mission enacting God the Father's will here on earth. This is why Jesus' loyalty is rooted in the Father's will and not your works. This is why the text does not say that Jesus came down to find those who promised to serve him. This is why the text says Jesus will come down and save you if you're mainly honest or if you do enough good deeds. No, Jesus' loyalty is directed towards you, but it's not because of you. Instead, Jesus is loyal to you because he's committed to the plans of his Father. This fact comes as an encouraging one. We have security, therefore, in Jesus' loyalty to us, because it's not contingent upon our loyalty to him. God is loyal to you before you were loyal to him. This means that Jesus will stick with you even if your life is a mess and in shambles. And how do we know this? Well, let's look at the context of Jesus' words. I want to draw your attention to verse 36. It reads, "But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." Now we need to see, who is Jesus talking to in this sentence? Jesus at this time is surrounded by a ragtag group of people with mixed motivations and very fickle loyalties. People are following him because they've witnessed him, his ability to multiply bread, and they're simply looking for the next meal that will come. Others are critical of his teaching and grumble at his words. Others are there because he's the coolest thing around at that time. These people have seen Jesus with their literal eyes, but they do not believe in Jesus as the Messiah. They do not understand his purpose on earth. Even with illuminated eyes, their hearts remain dark. And it's in this context that Jesus promises his loyalty. He pledges to remain faithful to those who come to him. This is the first benefit of Jesus' loyalty, his relational commitment. Let's unpack this idea by looking at the first half of verse 37. The second half of verse 37. It reads, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Second half of this verse, in my opinion, is one of the most powerful and reassuring verses of the Bible. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. The English translation misses some of the gravity and nuances of Jesus' words. I rarely mention anything in the Greek because it can feel exclusive. However, there are two helpful aspects that are illuminating and so encouraging that I feel like they need to be mentioned. The first is that in the Greek, Jesus uses not one, but two words to convey the idea of never. The repetition of the word no or never highlights Jesus' utter commitment to his action. Jesus is effectively saying that whoever comes to me, I will never, ever cast you out. This is the first insight. The second one is gleaned from the verb tense of the word cast out. This is an aorist subjunctive. You don't hear this a lot in normal day-to-day language. But grammatically, this means that the action has a definite outcome. What this means is that it's not a possible result, it's a guaranteed one. In sum, Jesus is saying that never in a million years will I cast you out. It's not possible for me to cast you out if you come to me. My promise is an ironclad commitment. Hear that again, friends. It is impossible for Jesus to cast you out if you come to him. This relational commitment on the part of Jesus is really, really hard for us to believe. As Dane Ortlund in his book, Gentle and Lowly, writes, we as fallen and anxious sinners are limitless in our capacity to perceive reasons for Jesus to cast us out. We are factories of fresh resistance to Christ's love. And even when we run out of tangible reasons to be cast out, such as specific sins or certain failures, we tend to retain a vague sense that, given enough time, Jesus will finally grow tired of us and hold us at arm's length. Dane is putting his finger on the fact that when we pull back the curtain, when we take off our masks and truly look at ourselves, we don't always like what we see. At times, we feel like we're fakes and failures, hypocrites who are broken, unworthy, and just barely holding it together. John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, was a Puritan who reflected extensively on this single verse, this internal battle of self-worthiness. He too must have felt many of these feelings, and yet he realized that Jesus' promise to never cast us out cut the throat of all objections we can offer God. No matter what we say to disqualify ourselves, Jesus' response is the same. Listen to this dialogue that he pens with Jesus. But I am a great sinner. I will never cast you out, says Christ. But I am a hard-hearted sinner. I will never cast you out, says Christ. But I am a backsliding sinner. I will never cast you out, says Christ. But I have nothing good to bring with me. I will never cast you out, says Christ. And if I might add and modernize this quote, but my devotionals, Jesus, are hit and miss. I'll never cast you out, says Christ. But I've destroyed so many relationships. I will never cast you out, says Christ. But my marriage is falling apart. But I will never cast you out, says Christ. But I have nothing left in the tank. I will never cast you out, says Christ. Friends, Jesus is loyal to you no matter the objections you offer. He promises to never cast you out because you are the apple of his eye. He knows all your thoughts and your affairs and still is loyal to you. Jesus' loyalty is like that of a new mother. Right after the world shut down, my wife and I had our first child, our daughter Hallie. It was incredible witnessing Paige's immediate love and loyalty towards Hallie. Paige's first words after the initial, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, were, I love you. And she cradled Hallie to her chest. Nothing could separate those two. Her loyalty was deep and intense and permanent. God's loyalty is like that of a new mother, but even greater. God holds you close and will never let you go. I like to think of his loyalty like that of a mama bear. He'll defend you, protect you, love you, and never cast you out with fierce and utter loyalty. This is good news for us because we need Jesus' daily presence and relational commitment. It's the only relationship in all of the universe that can truly and fully satisfy us. Unlike a fancy new toy, a good meal, or a new home or work promotion, Jesus never gets old. Verse 35 reminds us that Jesus is the bread of life, and whoever comes to him shall not hunger, and whoever believes in him shall never thirst. In this world, Jesus is the only person that's not trying to sell you something. It's the only relationship that puts more stress on what he's done rather than what you can do. He wants to freely give you the greatest gift in all the universe, himself. But Jesus will not force his presence upon you. He isn't a cruel dictator who demands submission through force. He won't crowbar your affections. Jesus' loyalty and presence is a gift that we must accept and simply receive. Within verse 35 through 38, the word come is used on four separate occasions. We must come to Jesus. We have a part to play. We must freely and willingly respond to this invitation of Jesus. Like a woman who has just received a proposal, we need to say yes to Jesus and allow him to slip that ring upon our finger. We must accept his proposal and bind ourselves to him. That is non-negotiable. But the great news is that there is simplicity in this action. Jesus doesn't demand holiness or require certain preparations before you come to him. He doesn't say that you need to get all of your act together before you come to me. He doesn't say you need to have everything figured out, that you can't have doubts or still have questions. No, he says, simply come to me and I'll take care of the rest. I will never cast you out. I will satisfy your hunger and thirst. I will raise you up, and I will give you everlasting life. Let me bear the responsibility of everything ahead. You simply need to come to me. Therefore, this morning, if you are tired and weary, if you are overwhelmed, doubting, confused, and afraid, if you are broken, hurting, questioning, and all you can do is simply show up, Jesus extends his arm wide to you. It says, come to me, for I am a friend of sinners. Even if you come limping, with your head low, tripping over yourselves, I'll take you just as you are. Learn from me, and in doing so, you will find rest from your soul, rest for your souls. And Jesus' promise of this rest leads us to our last point in this final benefit. The final benefit of Jesus' loyalty is his promise of personal resurrection. Jesus is faithful and loyal to bring us to our eternal home. Turn with me and look at verse 39 and verse 40 again. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The phrase "raise up" is used twice in these two verses. God's will culminates in the gift of personal resurrection and eternal life. Jesus promises and pledges to raise us up on the last day. This is the most magnificent and grandest display of his loyalty. And Jesus has the ability to grant this as the firstborn of resurrection, as the one who has already been raised up. He's been given the authority as the one who's gone before us to raise us up on that last day. Thus, our future is secure no matter what we face in the days ahead. There is no trial or tribulation from the world, from our flesh, or enacted by the devil that is too great for Jesus. As the Apostle Paul says, we can be sure of this, that he who began a good work will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. We know this because even now, right in this very instance, Jesus is pleading on your behalf in heaven. As we heard about in Hebrews 7, as the new and great high priest, Jesus lives eternally to make intercessions on our behalf. He is our advocate forever and ever. He will for all time shine a spotlight on our daily cares and occupations. This active work assures that we will be saved to the utmost and raised on that final day. You are still Jesus's mission. Jesus is still loyal to you. He can never forget you because you are engraved upon the palms of his hands. He can't stop thinking about you because of the gaping wounds from the crucifixion that are still open in his hands and his feet. These perpetually remind him of you. He was loyal even unto death on a cross. Therefore, he is loyal in heaven right now. He will bring you to himself. Since you belong to him, he will see that you are returned to him. There is a statue by the sea fishing town of Gloucestershire, Massachusetts. This town is well acquainted with loss. Thousands of fishermen were lost at sea in the first 3 centuries of this town's history. In 1987 alone, 249 fishermen and 29 vessels were lost during one single terrible storm. Because of this terrifying and sad history, there's a statue on the shore that depicts a mother and a child gazing into the sea. It symbolizes the plight of so many families at this time. Fixed, stationary, only able to simply hope and pray that their loved ones will return, yet unable and powerless to bring them home. Jesus is powerful enough to bring you home. He is loyal to you and will not lose you amidst the chaos and storms of life. When all seems lost, he will find you. Unlike that statue in that town of Massachusetts, he is not stationary. Jesus goes into the waters to pursue you. The final word of Jesus is that he will raise you up on the last day. This is a guarantee, an ironclad promise. He will bring you home. Why? Because Jesus is loyal to you. Let's pray. Jesus, we marvel at this complete and utter loyalty that you have for us. Father, we thank you that you are powerful to save, and that we can trust that you will bring us home. May we be people who marvel at the power of your loyalty. Jesus, we praise you that you are loyal to us.